Love in the storm. While I'm going through what I'm going through, He yet loves me. I'm glad you asked, and I heard you. He loves me because if He did not love me, what I'm going through would overflow me. But because He loves me, He shields me. He protects me. He keeps stuff from overcoming me. All the water and the trouble may be over my head, but it won't bother me. Like the little young man that fell down in the beach in 11 feet of sand. God, it overflowed him. He was 11 feet under sand on the beach. And I don't know how God did this, but He did it. There was a pocket of air. Now listen now. You try to figure this out. Y'all smarter than I am. I can't figure this out. How can a pocket of air be in the middle of sand? Nobody but God. Love in the middle of a storm. That young man's storm was 11 feet of sand. But God, and the part, they had them big dippers. Dipping, and it didn't cave in. I don't know how they did it, but God. And this little bit of stuff that I have. God is an awesome God. And no matter what your storm is, if you are trusting in God, that's some love in the storm. Yeah, just stay with Him and don't leave Him. Hold on to what you got. Because God will not leave you. The children of Israel stayed in bondage for 400 years. But God, in due time, He brought them out. Your trouble, my trouble won't last always. All you got to do is just keep depending on Him. If you keep taking sand out a bucket full by the time, after a while, it'll all be gone. All of us got some mess in our lives. Turn it over to Jesus. And I know it seems like He ain't doing nothing with it, but just trust in Him. What we call trash, He can turn it to gold. What you call gold just may be trash. Trust in God. If I can get through this, I think I have three or four points. I know I got one. I'm looking at point number one. Point number one. There is peace in His promise. In the promises of God, there's peace. Mark tells us, he says, that evening Jesus said to His followers, maybe not in these ones, maybe not in these ones, let us go across the lake. Let us pass over. Jesus wanted to put some miles of water between Himself and the multitude that He was leaving. He wanted, on the Western Shore, it was Jesus' idea to cross the sea, to go to the other side. They was on the Western side, and He wanted to cross and go to the Eastern side, to the countryside. His disciples were simply following His directions, where He was leading them. Someone have asked a question Did Jesus know that a storm was coming? Unquestionably, Jesus knew that the storm was coming. And it was within his power to prevent it. But there it is. Instead, he deliberately guided them into the storm. I know that bothers some of our theology that Jesus would know something is coming and wouldn't stop it from coming to me. Well, whatever you're in right now, he could have. Just want to see how you're going to act. The storm that they were in were part of their curriculum for the day. It would help the disciples understand a lesson that they did not even know that they needed. You too, you don't know you need the lesson that you're going to learn from the situation that you're in. But God does. And guess what else? He's going to get the glory from you going through. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of your life. Do you remember, and I know you do, call to your mind the baptism of Jesus? Was baptized in the River Jordan by John. And as soon as he got up out of the water and went up into the mountains, there was a storm in his life. There were temptations he had to face. Satan was waiting on him, just like he's waiting on you and the rest of us. He's waiting to flock on us. It's going to come. Storms are going to come. And in Florida, this time of the year, the sun can be shining now. When you go outside, it's up there. The storm is just like that in life. Things can be going so good. You're riding down the road of life and it's just as smooth. But then all of a sudden, you hit one of them clay roads after a rain. You got a hole here. Before you get out of that hole, you're in another hole. And it's all, that's the way life is. But there is peace in the promise of God. Some people have the false idea that storms only come into their lives when they stop following Jesus or doing wrong. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we can think we can get away from God and do whatever we want to do. But when we do some things to bring storms in our own life. You remember Jonah, don't you? God told him to go to Nineveh. He went down to Tarshish. God said, go north. I'm going south. I'm going just as far away from where God said for me to go. I believe Jonah was like some of the rest of us. He thought if he went the opposite way, God would not be there. But no matter where you go, God is already there. Got on the boat, going to Tarshish, and what happened? Storm come up. See, Jonah did something there that I hadn't thought about just now. He was in two storms at the same time. A physical storm and a spiritual storm. Because he had a storm on the inside of him. And God provided another storm on the water. So you see, you can't get away from God when he got something that he needs for you to do. Someone said Jonah was led into the storm because he wasn't following God. But here the disciples was directed into the storm.
because they were following Jesus. There are two kinds of storm. A storm of correction, when God disciplines us. And then there's a storm of perfection, when God is helping us to grow. And I don't know about you. Don't like neither one of them. Don't like the storm that makes me grow. And I don't like the storm that corrects me. I just like smooth sailing. But if you're going to work for God, there are going to be storms in your life. This storm was a storm of perfection, helping them to get better at serving God. It was designed for the express purpose of helping Jesus' followers to trust in him in every situation that might come up. No matter what storm we may experience, we can find peace in the knowledge that God has a purpose for every problem. He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." That is not a suggestion. That is a command. That is not an option. He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." Meaning that no matter what happened between here and there, we will get to the other side. There is peace in the promise of God. Point number two. There is peace in his presence. Just to be in the presence of God seems to bring a peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Can't explain it, but there is peace when I surrender and give everything to God. A fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to be filled with water. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow, a cushion. The disciples woke him shouting, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" I got to stop right here, because Jesus could go to sleep because he had an assurance that he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And he had not said we might go to the other side. He said, "Let us pass over." That saying is there. We're going to make it to the other side. And I have to constantly tell myself when I read and study this right here all this week, don't look too hard at them. Don't think too hard of the disciples. Because you get to the same place. That God, God tells you something, and no, that don't make no sense. Those disciples were fishermen. They knew the how to handle boats. They did just like we do. They tried to make it on their own. One line in my song, Sister Linda, I never would have made it. I never would have made it without you. They were trying to make it without Jesus. We know what we're doing. This is 2013. And the Bible was written way back yonder sometime. Old fogey stuff. But the word of God is still true. I said sometime or other, that's one thing, one reason it's hard now to convince people about this gospel, because it have not changed. We like change. We like change. We're just like computers. Every 5 or 6 months, we want everything we know to be obsolete. Got to get an update. Got to buy something else. God ain't changing. I told him I have a Bible. It was 1903 or 1898 or something. And it still begins with "in the beginning, God." Same thing. He have not changed. He's unchangeable. So we have to adjust to him. God's not going to change because you think he ought to change. It would have been one thing if Jesus would have said to the disciples, "You go over across and I will meet you on the other side." He didn't say that. He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." They could have still trusted in his promise, but they would have been alone along the way. He wouldn't have been with them somewhere down the way, but he was with them. And who knows what could have happened? But that's not what Jesus said. He told them, "We will go." And he went with them in the boat. He got in the boat with them. I think they forgot something. They forgot that Jesus was on board. And I had to ask myself the same question then. Don't think too hard of them. Because sometime in your walk, you forget that Jesus is on board. That's why you act contrary sometimes. That's why you won't do what's right when you know what's right to do. Because we have forgotten that Jesus is on board. And I can handle this because, no, he's there. Because we have invited him to get on board. And when he gets on board, you can't get him off like that. When you know that Jesus is with you, but still the cloud becomes dark, and lightning strikes, and thunder rolls, do you ever hear yourself saying, "God, don't you care about me? I'm down here in Crestview, Florida, all by myself. God, where are you?" Trouble just seemed to be all around me. And no matter what I do, trouble just seemed to come. There is peace in the promise. Jesus, on the other hand, was a picture of peace. This is one of, if not the only place in the Bible that we can find where Jesus went to sleep. He was sleeping. And I guess that's why I love to sleep so much, because at least he did go to sleep at least one time. He went at least one time. So I can verify that. But even in the midst of the storm, Jesus was perfectly at peace. That final fight alone should encourage his followers. Jesus loved his Father, and he knew that he would take care of him. Resting in the arms of my Father. I'm standing up here looking at that young man holding his son in the towel, and he looked just as comfortable. All this racket doesn't make a difference, because he or she's in daddy's arms. That's the way it was with Jesus, laying down sleeping in the storm on a boat. And some of us don't even like to get in boats. But Jesus went to sleep because he knew that there was peace. He was the picture of peace. He knew that his Father was going to take care of him. Too many Christians have the mistaken idea that following Jesus will produce smooth sailing. I know I did. Maybe you thought that as long as you do what God wants you to do, everything will be all right. I stopped by to tell you that there is an adversary. There is an enemy of God that is called the prince of the air, the prince of this world.
He does not like you doing the things of God. That's why you won't have peace, because he does not like that. John chapter 16, verse 33. In the world, you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He also promised that he will be with us through it all. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, part A. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the river they shall not overflow thee. See, that's saying that God puts a buffer around you. You remember the book of Job, the devil said you got a fence around me. And God does. He protects us when there seemed to be nothing, everything seemed to be going wrong. When we trust in him, there is love in the storm that you're in. God loves you. That's why the storm is no worse than it is. I know you got to go through. And I've forgotten the name of the person that wrote this in Footprints in the Sands of Time. The story goes the person was dreaming and they were asleep and they were believing they was walking with God, and they sometime when they were walking in a dream they could see Jesus walking right beside them. And then all of a sudden they when they got to the end of their journey, so they looked back in the dream and sometime they saw just one set of footprints. And then they begin to question Jesus. Said, I thought you said you'd never leave me nor forsake you. Said, and when I look back on my life, looking back to it, sometimes I only see one set of footprints. So Jesus said, Jesus told him, when you just see the one set of footprints, said, that was me carrying you. And I believe in the technology that we have now, if he would have looked at the footprints in the sand of time when it was one, just one set of footprints, the footprints would have been deeper in the sand because they have weight on them. Technology would have found that out. CSI would have found that out because he would have looked at the depth of the footprints in the sand of time, and he could have seen that that was too heavy for one man. But then they said at the end of the journey, when he got to the end of the journey, said he walked over to Jesus and said, well, who are all these other people that's making all these tracks up in here? So Jesus told him, said, that's you. So he said, no, sir, I couldn't make all themselves. He said, no. He said, you wasn't walking then. He said, you were dancing because you found out that you had made it through because you trusted in me. See, when we trust in God, he'll get you through what you thought you could not get through. He will provide just what you need. When it seems like everything is going wrong, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. All of my help comes from the Lord, and God will. Point number three, there is peace in his power. There is peace in his power. Jesus' love for God allowed him, Jesus, to sleep through the storm. Then I got this big word in here again, but his love for his fearful crew caused Jesus to get up out of his sleep. His love, the love that he had for God and that God had for him, he was able to go to sleep. I just believe the rocking of the waves just made him just soothe on off to sleep. Where when most of us, it would have bothered us because of all the up and the down motion. But because of whose hands he was in, where he was leaning to, he could nothing help him. The little stuff that happened down here can't bother God because he's God. He's in charge. And so therefore it didn't bother him. It said he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still.
And in studying this, I found that when the waves or the wind and all is so bad on the water, after the wind and all sometimes seem to cease, the water still is a little rough. But the Bible said, there was a calm. And I know why, and you do too. Because at the word of Jesus, they got to obey. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You got to obey him because he's master of all things. He was the creator and the inventor. He was there. And so therefore he knows it has to obey it. It has to obey him because he said, peace, be still. And it had to obey him. That's the kind of God we serve. I can only imagine that Jesus' followers felt at that moment what they felt. Jesus calmed both the wind and the sea. Simply, by the power of his word. By the power that's in his word. Brothers and sisters, and I've said this several times in the last 5 or 6 months, we need to watch our words. Because there is power in words. There is power. We need to speak positive things over people's lives, not negative things over people. Doesn't matter what they've done, you speak positively about them. Because the words are important. God was right there in the world when he created. But nothing happened until he said. God said, it's in there 10 or 12 or 13 times in Genesis when he said something, it happened. There is power in the word of God. Jesus is called the word, the logos of God. So therefore, when he speaks, there is peace in his power. I said this earlier, and it's worth saying again, after the wind dies down, waves usually remain rough for some time. But in this case, everything became calm immediately and stayed that way. Why are you going back telling us this? The situation that's in your life, when God speaks to it, it becomes calm. The reason it doesn't happen in some of our lives, we don't expect God to do it. We don't believe in the word of God. You need to take the word of God as serious as a heart attack when it's your own heart attack. And there are no, I cannot have a minor heart attack. You might can have one, but I can't have one. If I have a heart attack, it's major because it's mine. If you have one, if you want to call yours minor, that's all right. But when Jesus speaks, everything is major and it has to happen because he spoke. It becomes just a calm. And I think about when you fish, you don't like to fish in rough waters. You like for the water to be calm. But sometimes, Deacon Jones, you got to fish in rough water. You got to fish in rough water. Let me give you a prime example of fishing in rough water. You have studied to teach God's word. And you come in to teach God's word. And you stand up there to teach God's word. And everybody that's in the audience are looking at you like you lost. Like you crazy. You don't know what you're saying. That's rough water. It's a whole lot better when you're preaching and teaching this word. If the people are like big brim that's on the bed. On the bed means when they make a little circle in the water and they get ready to lay the eggs. And if you take that cricket and drop it over there in that water, they can't stand it. Because that cricket will fall down in their bed and they don't want anything in their bed. But see what they don't know? That the hunter, the fisherman, got a hook in that cricket. And when they go to get that cricket, they get the hook. And when they bite the hook, then you just set the hook. That's what the preacher and the choir and the singers and all do to you when you come when you come to serve God. We put the bait out there in your bed. This is your bed up here. And it comes in right here through your ear gate and your eye gate. And then when you bite that word, you have to, in order for it to fit real well with you, you have to know something about the word. And I'm telling you the way I do mine. I put my cork, I fish with a bobber, what some people call a bobber cork. And I fix it where it will not stand up straight in the water. I fix it where it will lay down. I can see all the cork. And I watch that cork. No matter which way the wind is blowing, the cork will tell you which way the wind is blowing. You watch the cork. If the cork start going against the wind, it always go with. If the wind's coming from this way, the cork will be coming this way. And when I see that cork and start going in the direction that the wind is coming from, just watch. It's just a flip of the wrist. It's just like hitting a baseball. Just dip. Just a flip of the wrist. Ain't no big motion, just a flip of the wrist. You do that until you set the hook. And then when you set the hook, you're reeling in. That's what happened to all of us. God put the word out. And he dropped it in our bed. And we bit that word. And he just reeled us in. And you know what? I don't know about you, but that was the best thing that ever happened to me. To be caught by the word of God. And see, you have to know now. You have to know something about it. If you don't know something about it, you'll be like, I don't know what we call a black fish. He bites. But nobody likes to eat him. He'll take your bait. And a lot of time when you catch him, you'll throw him back. But see, that's one thing I like about God. He catches nothing that he throws back. He keeps everything that he catches. This word has power in it. Has power in his word. It has power. A believer never comes to a worship service that they do not receive something. Because they come expecting to receive something. There is love in the storm. When the storm comes, don't worry about the storm. Know who is in control of the storm. When you know who's in control of the storm, you know that it's God. And can't anybody stop God from doing what he needs to do for the people that he's caring for? We need to understand that God, that there is love in the storm. It doesn't matter how bad the storm is. There is love in the storm because God will get you through the storm because you are his child. Nothing happens to God's people that God's not going to get the glory out of. He will receive the glory. And sometimes it's hard to see what the glory is going to be. And that's one thing that we need to understand and love about God. He does not have to tell you the glory that he's going to receive. And most of the time, we don't know that he's going to get the glory. And he won't tell you when you're going to give him the glory. But you'll give it to him. The storms of life that come, God has love that he put in those storms of life. No matter what they are, God loves you, and that's why you can go through the storm. You cannot go through the storm by yourself. Because of the love of God is why you will be able to go through the storm. You cannot make it through the storm by yourself. And as I stand here and look at you, there's not a one of us in here now that haven't been in or not in or will be in a storm. And a lot of us are in one now because sometimes we think we just get used to being in.
I live in the doghouse. I live in trouble. I live with storms in my life. When you are a believer, storms are going to come. They're going to come. And you will learn how to give it all to God. I'm glad you asked. Because you will remember the storm that he just got you out of. He got you out of that storm so you could get ready for the next storm. As soon as you get out of one, there is another one waiting on you. And the people that tell you that they're not having storms, they are lying through their teeth. And it doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means that the devil is something that's coming after you, and you just have to withstand it. And you don't have to be out of the will of God. These guys, the disciples, was following the word of Jesus. Jesus told them, get in the boat and let's go to the other side. They did what he said. The storm still came. You're going to be doing what God said for you to do, and a storm's going to come in your life. You can look at the storm and say, trouble don't last always, because God promised me that I would get through this. He would not have me to do this if he's not going to get the glory from it or get me through it. I know that God will get you through whatever you're in. Don't need to know what it is. If you talk to me, I won't ask you what it is. My biggest thing I'll tell you is that God will get you through it. How do I know that? All you got to do, if I'm not in one, I just got out and I'm waiting on the next one to come. Listen, Peter and those disciples were better after they had gone through the storm. I said earlier in here, they learned one thing, if nothing else, to always trust in God. Oh, trust what Jesus said. Jesus was teaching them lessons about the stuff that was, how stuff was going to happen to them. You don't have to be wrong for trouble to come in your life. Sometime you will. And then you have to say something, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I did stuff to cause this. Then you have to say something else, but God, you got to help me get me out of this. I'm leaning and depending on you. Yes, I was wrong. But God, get me out of this. And in the meantime, I should say to him, God, I'm in a learning process, and I'm gonna learn not to do that again. We need to understand that just because stuff comes our way, that God still loves us. He have not forsaken nor left us because stuff comes in our lives. Trouble will come, and when trouble comes, you need to know where to go. God will provide and will get you out of what you're in. Especially if he's not going to get the glory for where you are. And I'm trying to quit, but you got to go through. And that's one of my pet peeves with God. If he knows that I'm his child, he ought to just make it disappear. Because he's God. But then if he does that, I probably won't grow. If he hadn't carried me through what I've been through, I probably would not be where I am today. And neither would you. Because we have been through, we know that what he will do for us. And we try not to make those same mistakes again. That's the way you prove that you're growing. That you don't keep repeating the same mistake again. I'm through.